Praise God. We're just going to pick up where we left off this morning. Is that all right with y'all?
Yeah.
Well, let's go over to Mark. Chapter 4, verse 31. Everybody say, choose ye this day. Everybody, come on. Which language do we have to speak tonight? Say, choose ye this day. Or sit there and die. You can make a decision, or you can just sit there and watch things get worse, or let the devil do whatever he wants to do. You know what? If you don't make up your mind to agree with God, it'll automatically agree with the devil. If you don't make a conscious decision to believe the word of God, you will automatically go in the direction of the devil, because the Bible says that the mind of man is contrary to the ways of God. It's enmity to the ways of God. So if you don't renew your thoughts in every circumstance and in every situation, it will automatically be on the wrong path. It'll automatically go the wrong way. Whenever you got a new thing going on in your life, a new situation or a new challenge, guess what you need? A new mindset. Let me say hallelujah. You need a new mindset to handle every new challenge you get. So in every new mindset comes by hearing the word of God, by hearing the word of faith and getting in agreement with it. So if you got something going on in your life right now, some new challenge or some new thing happened to you, guess what God's saying to you? Choose. Choose what you believe. So we say, you even to choose. Everybody remember that song, Whose Report Will You Believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Even before you can do anything, you got to decide what you want to believe. So we say, you got to even choose. Say, you must decide to choose. First and foremost, God's report. You know, even though it doesn't make sense, somebody say, I'm going to do it. Anyhow, it's always a choice. The devil can't take your choice from you. Do you know that God made your free will agents, amen, free moral agents? You always have the ability to believe and choose whatever you want to believe, but always believe what God says. So say, choose. So if you're not going to choose, the Bible says we can either choose or reject. Life is all about making choices. Do you know that? That's what life is all about. God looks at our choices. That's how this whole thing started out with Adam and Eve. Whether they choose to believe God's word and do what God says, or whether they choose to do something else. Unfortunately, they chose to do the wrong thing. But God gave us the ability to choose again. And that, somebody say, thank God for that. And hopefully we'll choose to do what God tells us to do. Now, many times God's word comes to us, and most of the time we act ignorant. Everybody say ignorant. People crack me up. You know, ignorant people say, I just can't learn. That's not what ignorant means. Ignorant means you know what you do? You ignore the truth and try to play dumb about it. We all know what's right, and we all know what's wrong, and we all may, and most of the time we know exactly what the will of God is. You got that inward nudging. You don't have to have a five-hour teaching. You don't have to listen to 92 CDs to find out what God wants to do with your life. You know. But thank God we should listen to the word and have it build our faith. And we have to get to the point where we're going to choose to get in agreement with what our heart is telling us to do. And that's always the right thing. But many times that thought comes to us. God beats us at the thing and says, this is what I want you to do. Then right as God's ever watched the Flintstones, they had those two little men, one sitting on one side and the other sitting on the other side. You know, one was always trying to do the right thing. And the other was always trying to do the wrong thing. Well, it's the same thing with us sometimes. We play that same game with God. We play that same way with life. We have the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, telling us which way we need to go. Then we got that other voice, always, you know, going to take us down the wrong path, going to tell us to do the wrong thing. Or it'll just sing so we can't hear the voice of God. But we've got to learn to honor the voice of God in our lives so we'll be able to choose it. Because if we don't choose God, we're going to miss out. Somebody say hallelujah. So we must either choose God's plan or reject his purposes. We must choose God's plan or reject his purposes. Now go over here in Mark chapter 4, verse 31, or go to 30. says, when we choose Christ, it is by faith. And remember, we were talking about the stone which the builders rejected. Here it is. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which is sown in the earth. Jesus must be sown in the earth. Faith demands actions. It is less than the seeds that be sown in the earth. Let me go there. I got to read it in this one because I got another little version there. How many are going to try to put this into action? Let me know if anybody wants to put this into action. Mark chapter 4. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we make it? Compare it. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Some say, respect the mustard seed of the Word of God. Say it one more time, respect the mustard seed of the Word of God. And many people don't allow the things of God to grow in us because we don't like the way God starts stuff. We never want to get started because we don't understand how we get started. He will always start great things in your life by small, little, teeny, beady seeds. But we don't want to honor those seeds and plant those seeds in our life. We don't ever want to take mustard seeds seriously. Look at somebody and say, seeds are serious. Say it one more time. Seeds are serious. I'm hearing a beep there someplace. Is somebody getting a call in here? Praise God. Hallelujah. So seeds are serious. So most of the time somebody say, it is like, where shall we liken the kingdom? How many want to get over to kingdom life? Kingdom life. How many believe there's another kingdom going on at the same time? Unseen kingdom. Well, that kingdom works by seed time and harvest. And you got to understand that when God's going to say something to you, we've got to let people get beyond. See, we're expecting the ceiling to bust open and the voice of God to come down with a loud voice, or the walls to crack. We're expecting God to speak through burning bushes and all this other stuff. Thank God he does that sometime. But most of the time he's going to get to you. He's going to change your life with small seeds. We're wondering why we don't have anything to eat. We're wondering why think great greens not growing in our life because we never planted it. Very seldom does God give us something fully developed. He gives us the seed to grow. You got to learn to grow into your blessing. You got to learn to grow into prosperity. You got to learn to grow into fullness. You need to learn to grow into life. Lazy people don't like to do things God's way. People expect God to work a miracle overnight, but they don't ever want to hear the word that brings about that miracle. Say, God, do this for me. He'll speak something to your heart, but if you don't take what he speaks and plant it on the inside of you, it will do nothing for you. Some say mustard seeds. Don't be afraid to smart. Don't despise small beginnings. Which small beginnings? Not small beginnings would be something like not getting off track. This is what I heard God say to me, and I'm going to plant that on the inside of my heart and not let it die. So somebody say, choose. It's hard. Listen, it's hard to choose the right thing because most of the time the devil throws stuff out at us that looks already ready and all ready to go. Perfect. Real quick stuff. You know, the devil throws real quick fixes at us. Quick solutions. It looks already packaged up. Already worn out. And most of the time when God sends something to us, he just starts it real small. And people are afraid to take the God thing. We're afraid to take the humble road. The devil says, knock everybody out of the way and get to the line first. God says, be patient. Seek not your own things, but seek the things of others. Say, I'll never get there living like that. We think that way. So we say, small things. Seeds. But when those seeds grow up and when it groweth greater, somebody say greater. You know, that's what God's heart is toward us. He wants us to be the head, not the tail. He wants us to have greater works manifest in our life. He wants us to have a greater life. But many people never get to the greater things because they're never willing to start out small and harvest things. Great people in the kingdom of God are those that have learned the value of seeds. So we say hallelujah. Jesus saith unto them and us, did you read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has come the head of the corner in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Why don't y'all just pray in the Holy Ghost real quick? Hallelujah. Why don't you, somebody say, thank God. Praise God. This is the Lord's doing. That one's sweet. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. Jesus saith unto them and to us, the stone which the builders, somebody say build, reject. See, life is all about choosing and rejecting. And God wants us to build our life one seed, one little stone at a time. But that little seed that you don't think is worth much, that little God idea that he gave you, amen, that might not show, you know, that little plan of God that you have on the inside, God might whisper something for you to do, seems insignificant, seems small, it doesn't make much sense. And most of the time, if it doesn't show us $120,000 a year or immediate bucks back or recognition, instant gratification, fame, fortune and all those things that we're trying to get for ourselves, we throw those things away. See, the devil comes at us with quick fixes and all these wild stuff. Notice that he took Jesus out there. He wanted Jesus to take the quick road. He said, listen, all these things I'll give you if you just fall down and worship me. You know, he took him to the highest mountain. He took him to all these places and said, listen, you can have it right now. You just do it my way. You just obey me. But Jesus wasn't going to fall for any of the devil's devices. You know what? If God doesn't give it to you, you don't want it. There's only one better thing than a blessing, and that's a blessing from God. Amen? There is no blessing that God can't give. Amen? Sure, people can get out there. The Lord, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Whenever the devil tries to sow something your way, it always comes with stuff attached to it. Amen. Quick stuff. You had to cut this one there, and you're not sure how long you're going to be able to keep it because you had to rig it up. And you wondered just how fast it's going to fall apart because he didn't put it together right. But when God does it, it's secure. It's stable. The stone which the builders rejected. Don't reject God's plan for your life. Don't reject the word of God in your life. Matthew chapter 21, verse 40. Is that what yours says? Are you there with the stone which the builders rejected? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head, somebody say the head, of the corner. Now you notice that the wise man built his house upon the rock. Y'all ever heard that song? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the what? Rain came tumbling down. What was the second part? Was it the foolish man? What was the word? What was the second one? Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Somebody say it. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. Amen. Well, that's what it's like for a lot of people. They build their house on sand instead of on the rock. How do you build your house on the rock? Jesus is the rock. He's the Word. Somebody say, the Word is a solid foundation. It's talked about when God speaks something into your heart, that's what you build on. Don't build on the economy. Don't build on your own understanding or somebody else's ability. Build on the Word. Even though that Word might seem small, it might seem like a mustard seed. That's why people reject it. Why do people reject God's way? First of all, because it comes small. That's why many people rejected Jesus when he came. They were expecting some great orator, some great leader, some powerful military conqueror that could show them straight up who he was all about. But no, he was born in a manger. He didn't come with great armies and all these other things. He just came with the word of the Lord. And because of the way he came, many people couldn't receive him. Well, it's the same way when God comes in our life. We're expecting God to show up and do something. Many times he's already showed up in our life, but he came in a word. He came in the form of a mustard seed. And many times that stone, some say the stone that God wants you to build your life with. Some say line upon line, precept upon precept. That's what we build our business with. That's what we build our lives with. That's what we build our ministry with. But many times those stones that will always be there, solid and strong, we reject them. But I tell you what, the stone that everybody else rejects, somebody say, glory to God. Stones like worship. Stones like church. You know, there are some foundational things you can put in your life and surely build a house that the devil can't get in. Amen? Somebody say prayer. Prayer don't work. I don't got no time to pray. Some say build your house with it. Worship and praise, you can build a house with it. Bible reading, you can build a house with it. Church attendance, you can build a house with it. So that when the rains come, the storm come, the devil won't be able to knock your house over. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head, somebody say the head, of the corner. Go over here, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. So say choose or reject. Now, if you choose God, then run with him. If you've made up in your mind, the Bible said, a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. No, it says all of his ways. That means when you're double-minded, not one way you try to go is going to be together. You're going to be unstable. There's nothing worse. You know, that's why many, anybody met flaky Christians? Somebody say flaky Christian? You ever met flaky? Why are they so flaky? Because they're double-minded. Say, I can't stand going to, especially most of the time you go to charismatic churches, those are the baddiest ones you find. Unstable. You know, when God gets in our life, we're not supposed to be unstable. 2 seconds from falling apart. We're supposed to be together. Why does that instability come? Because we don't know which. We haven't made up our mind. Bible says an unstable, you know, a double-minded. Somebody say double-minded. You know that, how are you going to have the mind of Christ and then you got your own mind to do what you want to do? Well, to me, that sounds double-minded. If I'm going to have the mind of Christ, I need to renew my mind to match the mind of Christ. Somebody say one mind. One heart and one spirit. We wonder why our lives can't, we just can't keep going slowly and steady right ahead, but just like a little seesaw up and down, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the devil, full of praise, full of complaints, ready to worship, ready to quit. Amen. Why does that happen? Somebody say double-mindedness. Causes us to be unstable in all of our ways. How many want to walk sure? Notice how I'm talking about a wise man built the stone which become the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. That cornerstone was a solid stone, wasn't it? Stability. Everybody say stability, stability. And strong faith. Stability in life will come as we start to honor the word of God and never stray from it. Know what you're building with. Don't mix stuff up. When you're building on the word, build your whole house on the word. Don't start one way and finish up another way. Choose or reject. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, it says, I wish you were either hot or cold, or either one or the other, because you are lukewarm. Some say neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. When you don't choose him, you have rejected him. How many ready to be shot forward? How many ready to be shot forward instead of spit out? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Somebody say hallelujah. Listen, what God wants to do in your life, it's not far off. That promise that you want from God, that provision that you want from God, that miracle you believe in for, it's not far off. How many want to put your hands on what God has for you? We're trying to bring the promise real to you. We're not trying to tell you, oh, y'all just hold on a little while longer. There's a prophet going to come through town and tell you what's going to happen. You don't need to follow every little Looney Tune. Heard something today. Somebody said, anybody heard people say, well, a little bird whispered it to me. It goes along with gospel. How'd you find out? A little bird told me. Little bird told me. Anybody heard that? Little bird came and told me this. You know, people act like just a little bird prophesying. Little bird came and told me. Well, let me tell you what, you better make sure that little bird's not a cuckoo. Hallelujah. You're going to be in trouble. Thank you, Jesus. For this is the commandment which I command you today. It is not hidden from you. Stop trying to act like God plays mind games. I'll find out next week. I'll find out next year. You know exactly what the Lord wants to do, but he just hadn't revealed it to me yet. Well, you're a liar. So say the commandment of God is not hidden from you. A lot of people try to say, well, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what's happening. That's just an excuse. Whatever he leads you to do is his command. You just didn't see the same picture. Maybe it didn't show a spotlight. Maybe you couldn't see the right outfit to have on. Amen? What God wants you to do, what God wants out of you, what God commands out of your life, by praise God, it's not hidden from you. You already know it. You don't have to watch a bunch of TV to get it. You don't have to have me come up here with my eyes glowing, nearly floating from the floor and say, thus saith the Lord unto you. It is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. You should be glad. You should be glad. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, it's a long way down the road. Oh, Holly, it'll come later on. I just need to wait a little while longer. Well, we don't have that long, honey. God will reveal it to me next year, next season. God's not, get real. Today is a day of salvation. God wants to use you right now. Hallelujah. Well, what God wants me to do, it's so big. Ooh, I'm going to get rolling on it. You know, I just see the big crowd. I'm just hanging out waiting. You know how many people I find out waiting to do something, doing nothing?
Yes.
Opportunity right there in front of their face. And they waiting. You're going to miss God's best. So say, just do it. Just start. Glory to God. Of course, I've seen certain things in my life when I got out there and visualized ministry. Yeah, I visualized some stuff. I visualized crowds and all this other stuff. But I'm not going to waste my time waiting for a crowd. You might have saw yourself at a rock and roll concert or something and got it all messed up. You could have just been in the big, you know, God just giving you a vision of a bus stop and you thought you had a platform ministry someplace. Usually what God wants you to do is right in front of your face. Can I tell you something? Something that I learned? Yesterday is gone, tomorrow never comes. All you got is right now. People say, well, I'll get it tomorrow. There's always tomorrow, and you'll never be there. All you'll have is right now. The decision that God wants you to make is right now. The Bible even teaches us, don't say, well, tomorrow, I'll do this tomorrow. You don't know. Amen. Frieda Lindsay built Christ for the Nations. What a powerful ministry. Every year that woman's 80-some years old, puts 20,000 roofs on churches around the world, raised millions and millions of dollars for the kingdom of God, put many ministries out there, trained many people for the ministry, did all this other stuff, built that big property up there. We've had music that we've heard from Christ for the Nation. How many of you been? Some of you don't even know you've been blessed by Christ for the Nation. I was talking to Mom Lindsay one day. I think you were with me, weren't you? We were out eating with Mom Lindsay for lunch or whatever it was. She likes Luby's. Not my kind of place, but she loves it. Amen. And we were out there at Luby's, and Mom Lindsay said, how did you get the vision? How did y'all get this thing going? Y'all must have had some plan to get where God wants you to go. Mom Lindsay said, no. We just did what we had to do day by day. They just made the right decisions and worked with what they had day by day and let God build it. Might tell you you're not supposed to have vision. No, have vision of victory. Have vision of Jesus coming and you being called faithful. Other than that, you need to not get caught up. We got a bunch of people I'm about talking about visions and plans and all this other stuff. There's only one vision. Somebody say one vision. That's Jesus exalted and us being obedient. He can hold it together. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He can handle the details. Somebody say, just tell me my next step. If I lose my faith or I lose my confidence, show me a big picture, but you take me there. Show me how to get there one step at a time. I like that one song. It's okay. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. It's a true statement. I catch people out in La La Land all the time. Amen. Out in La La Land all the time. You know, something right there for them to do. They could just reach out their hand and just smile at somebody. Or give somebody a hug at church and change their world forever. But no, they're in spirit. You ever met them? I'm sure you pastored. You were out there. Amen. They're in the spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo! Somebody say, you better wake up and make a decision. The commandment of God is not far off. You know, I find so many capable people. You know how many ministers and preachers we meet every day doing nothing but talking about what they're going to do tomorrow? We used to tell people around here, somebody said, God's got me in ministry. I'm supposed to lay hands on people. I said, well, start with laying your hand on that toilet. Help us clean it. Hallelujah. Make a difference. They never get there. But you can make a difference right now. How many want to make a difference? Amen. Look at by somebody right now and tell them, Jesus loves you, and do something good right now. Just do something good right now. Well, at least you get to take that to heaven with you. See? Now that'll pay in heaven. Let me tell you something. When you get to glory, that'll pay in heaven. There's going to be so many people up there. Lord, I was just believing for that ministry you gave me, but if you had to come, I would have worn it out for you. Just like us, you know. My mom left home, and she'd give us assignments to do at the house. She couldn't come home and upset her. I was thinking about doing it. I was thinking about when it was time to get it done. I said, do what you can. Now. The commandment of God is not far from you. I'm glad to be teaching tonight. How about you? It is not. Somebody say, it is not. Up in heaven that thou should say, shall we go? Who shall go up for us and bring it unto us? There are a lot of people like that. Somebody say, they got to get in the heavenlies to find out what God wants. You know, if I just get spiritual enough. You know them. How many meet them? Amen. I don't have to get all deep about it. When I get to heaven, God's going to have an assignment for me there. Amen. But I'm down here. So he's going to bring it to me right here. Someone say, glory to God. Am I helping anybody tonight with their ministry and how to get started? Glory to God. Then you know we believe in heaven and praying in the Holy Ghost and doing all these other things. Who shall bring it down for us? Woo! Somebody say, who's going to bring the commitment of God down for me? Well, it said the commandment that he has for you is not up there that anybody should bring it down for you. That means what God really wants to do for you, nobody can bring it down for you. God's already put it on the inside of you. You were born with it. Before you, listen, God had a plan for you even before you were created. He spoke over you when you were born. He's just not making it up as you go along. Amen? He's going to say the same thing. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah! Somebody say thank God. Most of the time, you just do what you enjoy if you're saved. You'll do God's will. You feeling better, Brother T? That's how you do God's will. Just do what you can. Leave the rest up to him. Thank you, Jesus. This is practical, good teaching that you know that everything's going to be all right. Oh, good. You know, these people, someone say tomorrow. Blowing today away, complaining about yesterday, thinking about tomorrow. Neither is it beyond thee in the sea that thou should say, who will go over for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. See, they used to always make those excuses. Somebody say hallelujah. You can put him back in the background. That they could make all those excuses and do all those things. So say, hear it and do it. But the word is very, somebody say very. Are you in Deuteronomy chapter 14? Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Thank you. Somebody said, the word. Say the word. Thank God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Somebody say the word. Say the word. He sent his word and healed every one of their diseases. Somebody say, you know, they said that he healed certain people and delivered certain people and cast out certain demons. By just a word. Somebody say, a word. As soon as God speaks the word, his will goes out with that word. Amen. But thank God that his word is not only near you, but the Bible says the word is, somebody say, very near you. So stop trying to ignore it. Somebody say, hallelujah. Waiting for ceilings to crack and all this other stuff. So say, the word of God is very near me. In your mouth, somebody say in your mouth, and in your heart, that thou mayest do it. Somebody say speak it. As a man speaks, so is he. See, but so many of us have not allowed God's Spirit to reign victoriously in our mouth. We need to change our confession. We get the confession of God when we pray in the Holy Ghost. And see, we don't pray in the Holy Ghost as we ought or as we should. See, but as we stir up the gift on the inside of us, amen? You know what you'll put on the inside of your mouth when you start to pray? You know you can pray out the will of God. There were some big giants in the faith movement. And if I didn't respect them, I'd say it was crazy. Amen. But I've learned that I don't know everything, and I'm just a young thing on the field. Amen. And I've learned for a long time, until you can outdo the works, don't run them down. Amen. One thing I figured out, I thought was really flaky, but many strong men and women that have been out there for years, Brother Oral Roberts says, you know how he figures out what God wants him to do? He says he just prays it out in tongues. He prays it out in tongues, and as he prays it out in tongues, he's able to walk it out in his life. Some say, very near you. How many of you need a blessing? Pray it up. How many need something to do? How many need something to do? You know what you do? You pray it out. It's already on the inside of you. Bring it to material. You know, how many? When's the last time you sat up there and prayed? Wonder why you're walking around in circles. Blind. Because you know that word that's in your heart. You got to get the word that's inside your heart, that's on the inside of your spirit, in your mouth. And you're not going to be able to do it until it gets in your mouth. Somebody say hallelujah. Pray, and then start to speak the things that God says. Amen? That's a form of prophecy. Do you know that? And sometimes it gets real hard when you start to pray about stuff, and then God starts to give you direction, starts to give you inspiration. Then you're going to have to start to confess those things. Amen? Call those things that are not as though they are, because you know they really are. Pray in the Holy Ghost just for 2 seconds. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The word is very nice. I got 4 minutes. Jump over John. Hallelujah. Chapter 19, verse 5. As soon as you get it, say amen. Someone say beholding. Say beholding. Beholding. Say beholding.
Beholding.
Choosing God's best. We want to learn how to see Jesus. How to see God in things. We are called to behold the man. Jesse, what does your verse, John chapter 19, verse 5 say? Say, Jesus came out wearing what? Shout it out for him.
When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man."
That doesn't make too much sense, does it? So we say, even though you can't figure it out, even though you don't understand it. Remember the word that we got on Friday night by the Holy Ghost? I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure it out. Somebody say hallelujah. There are certain things about God. Amen. Now, I tell you what, that would confuse a lot of people because purple represented the color of royalty. But what is this crown thing all about? You need to shut both doors. What is this crown thing all about? Somebody say hallelujah. So say a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe on his body. Would you choose that? Would you choose that? See, many people don't understand it. They say, now listen, I can deal with the purple robe stuff. I like that. All of us want to take the good stuff. But what about that mind? Somebody say the mind. Say the mind. Many of us want to put on that purple robe, but we don't want to wear the crown of thorns. So say the helmet of salvation. Glory to God. We don't want to have him purge our mind with the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, glory to God. So say, we don't have to understand it. We don't have to figure it out. But we just got to know the voice of the shepherd. Amen. Bible says the sheep, listen, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a hireling they won't listen to.
That's right.
There are certain things about God that we see, certain deep things, certain mystical things about God that we see, even about the call of God on our life. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say, you know, we're not called to suffer poverty, sickness, and death. But do you know that we are called to suffer for the cause of Christ? Paul said, I put my body under. Glory to God. Every once in a while, somebody say amen. If we are willing to suffer, somebody say suffer with him, we'll rise with him. We'll be glorified with him. I tell you what, listen, you got to be willing to crucify this mind of the flesh and get the mind of Christ. So he said the purple robe and the crown of thorns. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say choose God in all things. He'll take that crown of thorns and give you a crown. A real crown. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I must be getting out there for some of you. But God's trying to do something. Amen. And many of us are confused. And we don't perceive, you know, we don't understand certain things. Say, God, I see all the good you want to do, but hey, wait a minute now. That might affect my life a little bit. That looks like it might cramp my style a little bit. I could wear the robe, but that crown, Jesus did it all for us. And I'm not telling you to go out there and get a true, because some of us crazy ones will probably go out there and do it, amen? Amen? I'm not telling you to get out there and get any thorns and stick it on your head. What he did on the cross was good enough for everybody, amen? But I tell you what, in this life, a victory, there's a price that must be paid. Glory to God.
Amen.
There's sacrifice that need to be done every once in a while. Glory to God. We're not in heaven yet. There's a war going on. Hallelujah. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. But we need people to put on some stuff. Glory to God. Paul said he went through many things to get the gospel out there. He said he'd been beat, bruised, thrown in prison, but you just let us get talked about. You let somebody laugh at you because they hear you speak out in tongues, you ready to give up. You let church go 5 minutes past the hour, and boy, you missed a TV show. And you let church fall on a holiday. You let the 4th of July roll around on Sunday morning. I was there. I could have been at the park. Somebody say, we're really suffering now. Somebody say hallelujah. We're Holy Ghost filled, Bible believing people. We believe that God wants us blessed and overcoming. Amen. But we're not afraid to suffer for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay up a little bit later. I need my beauty sleep. It ain't work yet. What about me? Somebody say it. So say, I want the robe, but forget the crown. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all are the best smiling people out there. Amen. But I tell you what. Some say the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Say it one more time. God's trying to anoint you. Somebody say, how do you get there? Ain't no fake thing. We see people push people down and fake it. Anointing has nothing to do with volume. Knowing it had nothing to do with somebody on the back of the organ. Some of you just hit the right note. You ready to scream. Amen. If we just get, you know, in our culture, if I just talk like Benny Hinn, we got to be real anointed. Or down here, if you get it, you're not anointed until you get a southern accent. Hallelujah. You're not anointed until you go to Tulsa. Yes and amen. But you want a real anointing that will break the yoke of bondage? See, we want the anointing, but we don't want to get anything to bring that anointing to pass. Somebody say, choose. See, some of us taking the small way down and patience is suffering. What you mean I got to develop this thing? I know a faster way. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, O Father. Amen. Can I let y'all in on a big secret? If you're going to flow in anointing, you better flow through some suffering first. Wonder why there's no anointing in your life, because you're always looking for the easy way out. Somebody say hallelujah. sprinkle water, no substance to your life whatsoever. People know you don't give a rip. You won't see, anybody can see, sit up here and sing a song with tears in your eyes. I'm not having nothing wrong with singers. But are we going to be like Jesus and be willing to lay down your life for those ones you're crying for? Amen? When I'm in trouble, I need somebody to be there. Glory to God. Don't you come singing either. Glory to God. If I need some, you better, you know. Hallelujah. Somebody say the real anointing. You know where anointing comes from? The oil. Somebody say the oil. It's just not poof. Y'all just doesn't look at the little, you know, the olives out there and just poofs and just breathes on it and turns into oil. Isn't that really nice? He gets those olives. Somebody say hallelujah. And pressure. Somebody say pressure. Somebody say pressure again. Pressure. He crushes. Glory to God. People that hold on with patience and endurance. Somebody say hallelujah. I can't take it much more than give up. Somebody say hallelujah. That's what he's trying to work out. Amen. When he gets us, you know, they get those olives and they just crush them. And you know what that crushing is? It brings the oil. It brings the oil. Somebody say hallelujah. Every experience that we go through, we learn a new thing about his power, about his grace, and about his anointing. Amen. No such thing as an anointing without experiences of life and pressure. Somebody say passion. You know that anointing and passion go hand in hand? Anybody seen people passionately minister? Some people see people passionately try to be fake. Passionately go after all this other stuff. But say passion again. Say passion.
Passion.
You know what that passion is? You know what God called passion? God called passion this. Jesus. You want to be passionate about stuff. But when Jesus had passion, they called what he did on the cross was passion. Those stripes that he had on his back was passion. Crown of thorns on his head was passion. Being beaten beyond recognition, that was passion. Somebody say hallelujah. Today we don't get passionate about anything but being cut off the road. Oh, but we're going to take down the world overnight. We expect to wave our hand and 92 people fall out. Woo. So say hallelujah. Boy, am I running my mouth tonight. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Behold, somebody say behold, the man. John chapter 1:14, then we're about to get out of here. Somebody say the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say the word. Say it again, the word. Don't overlook the word. Don't reject the word. Somebody say, you know, so don't act like you don't. That's what the Jews are going to try to do. Didn't nobody tell us? He killed every prophet he sent to him. Even the Son of God. When you stand before God, amen, you're going to give an account for every, somebody say for every, idle word. And many people try to be slick and say that only means you're going to give account for little careless things you say about people. No, it's deeper than that. Amen. So you pay for that dumb talk down here. Amen. You keep running your mouth, you're going to get beat up. Amen. You pay, you know, you get that stuff taken care of right down here. I love my girl. She helps me out. Amen. But you know what? The words you're going, the Bible says you'll give an account for every idle word. Know what word that is? The word that's spoken over your life. Amen. That you allow to sit idle because you're waiting to be Benny Hinn. Sitting idle. You know how many dummies we saw at Christ for the Nation just waiting for the right time? I mean, just wait. If I can just get to that microphone, then I'll really have my time. You could just see people not even in the worship service. They're just idolizing. There's my time. So say idle. Idleness. I'm not supposed to do nothing. God just has me in waiting. Well, as you waiting, amen, pick up a vacuum, amen. As you waiting, amen, go knock on somebody's door and say, hey, you been to church? As you waiting, pick up the phone, amen. Tell somebody you love them, not what somebody else just did. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus said, occupy until I come. Every idle, somebody say idle, word. The word of God is quick. Glory to God. And alive. It's fresh. The moment he speaks into your heart, he'll do something with it. When do you start? Right when you hear it. God speaks something to you. How do you start? Start shouting about it right then. Start thanking for it right there. But I just put this on a back burner. Amen. Say, add it up. Every little idle word. Somebody say, glory to God. Every little mustard seed God plant gives you. You ever got a bag of mustard seed? See, the word is like mustard seed. The word is like mustard. See, those things are real small, amen? And God just gives them to you. And every little seed, if he has the hairs of your head numbered, every mustard seed he places in your life, it's numbered. He said, I told you that. He said, every word, he said, the words that go out of my mouth, they won't return unto me void. Where is it? Somebody say hallelujah. You might have forgot it. He didn't. He remembers it. Today we throw words out like popcorn. Some people prophesy, I mean, more than half the prophets in the Bible. And they didn't out-prophesy. I mean, they out-prophesied Jesus. I can read every prophecy Jesus gave it written in red here in about 2 hours. And some of these ones today, amen, you'd be a lifetime reading everything they got to say. I can read through Daniel's book in a day. Some say it's not all that. Tell me enough to get me started. Look at all Moses did, and how long did it take God to tell him to do that? Go set my people free. Okay. Hallelujah. And he told, listen, look at the boy. How many of you can read the book of, you know, when they were building the ark? When they were building the ark. And he told him how to build the ark, all the measurements and everything. You could read through that in 2 days. And we still trying to figure it out. The word that God has for you, you already know it. It's in your mouth and it's already in your heart. Anything else you hear is only going to confirm what you got on the inside of you. Amen? Some say, it ain't far off. If it's far off, it's not yours. I've enjoyed tonight, did you? Amen. I'm excited about what you got going on in your life. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just said, yes, amen. Why don't you stretch out your hands right where you are and just start to bless the Lord. Say, Father, I thank you that your word is your power in me to make a difference. Thank you. Somebody was bold enough to tell me that I know already what you want me to do. I'm not ignorant concerning your will for my life. Your word comes to me in mustard seeds, and you're the one that causes those seeds to grow. So I want you just to pray in Holy Ghost and water every small seed that was spoken over your life. God's not throwing watermelons from heaven. He's throwing mustard seeds. People visualize God throwing big trees from heaven. He's throwing seeds. And all you got to do is take those words and plant them on the inside of your heart. And through patience and endurance and supernatural faith, build your life. Thank you, Jesus. I will not reject your word. I'll build my life on it. I know it's late, but I just want you to consider those things. Many of us want to build our life on what we can see, what we can think up in our head. Build your life on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Build your life on what God said to you. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Somebody say hallelujah. And when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, guess what? And they begin to speak as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Amen. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, that's not us praying. That's our spirit praying as the Holy Ghost leads us to pray. But the words that we pray, that's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we can live by it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I will be spirit-led. Let me hear you pray in the Holy Ghost as we're getting ready to get out of here. Come on. Hallelujah. Stand up and pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Pray up a blessing. I will not fear. Glory to God. I will not fear. I will trust and obey. Glory to God. Just call the devil a liar right now. The devil's trying to get you confused, get you sidetracked. Say, I'm not even going to be nervous about it. I believe God's reporting. I believe there's going to be a turnaround even tonight in the name of Jesus. You stomp your feet and say, I'm doing what God told me to do, and it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Keep on praying in the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm doing what God told me to do, and it is going to be all right. Say, I curse out fear right now in the name of Jesus. I curse the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus, and I call forth the spirit of faith. Say, I believe in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You better chase that spirit away by just confessing, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. His word is true in my life. His word is true in my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't allow the devil to chase you from your spot of victory. Glory to God. You stand there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your Father. Thank you, Jesus.